And as they do that, if you could turn with me to our scripture reading, which comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And this is reading of God's word. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Amen. Yeah, we're almost at the very end of our teaching series through this book. In your life, have you ever been scammed? Like you were taken advantage of? I have. In a foreign country. That was kind of scary. If you ever want to know what that was, come and talk to me. I always wonder, why are there scammers in this world? My answer was, because there are people who get scammed, right? Sometimes the victims of a scam, they want something so bad and so much that they can't really discern the red flag that is so obvious to many of us. But sometimes the scam can be very sophisticated. Have you ever heard the term voice phishing? If you never have, that's kind of, I want to remind you, this is out there. And what happens is that a phone call will come to you and your child's phone number and the face will appear on your phone, thinking it's your child who's calling. And when you pick it up, there's a cry. When you're crying, you can't really discern if you're a child's voice or not. And essentially, they share that she or he had been kidnapped. And if you don't respond within 5, 10 minutes of wiring a certain amount of money, that your child will be never seen. So when we initially hear something like she'd say, that's crazy. But what would you do if your phone and your child's ID and the picture pops up? I've been told that millions have been lost, many lives destroyed. And this touches not only the rich or the poor, but also those who are highly educated, including those who are uneducated, I'm told. It's interesting, in our modern day, the exponential growth or advancement of technology has helped so many people and assisted so many fields, and yet it created this monster of technology that's so sophisticated to take advantage of those who are elderly and those who are vulnerable. It's pretty serious out there. Why do you think people in the church are lured by different teachings? You ever thought about that? Why are people in the church actually spiritually deceived and sometimes enticed to walk away from their faith? And that is the question that we're going to answer this morning. We come to a passage where Paul has been addressing certain groups in the church at Ephesus. And his emphasis has been honor certain groups. Honor those who are truly widows. Honor the teaching and ruling elders of your church. And honor your employers. That was last Sunday's message. And this morning, Paul addresses a certain group. And it's actually the third time in this letter that he addresses the false teachers. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, now in closing, he addresses this group because we have learned that that was the primary reason why Timothy was left at the church at Ephesus when Paul went to another city to combat those false teachers. And from this, we can conclude that it was a very serious and dangerous situation. And what Paul does here, he uses many different words and adjectives to describe false teachers and their teachings. And what's going to happen is it's going to define for us what constitutes false teachings. And I know many of you, when you heard my introductions, yeah, false teachings are way out there. It's kind of wacky. Those cults. May I encourage you to listen? It's not blatant lies. That's why it's deceptive and dangerous. And many were being led away from their faith. So then naturally, the question arises, what did the false teachers teach that God actually got hearing from the people in the church? And why did they gain so much traction with their teaching? And so the question for us this morning is, are there false teachings that you are actually following this morning without even realizing? Who are the false teachers in our modern days? Again, people are led astray. It's because their teachings were not blatant lies. Actually, their teachings were very seductive to the heart. But what's scary is the Bible calls them demonic. It's evil. I divided the message into three parts, false teachers. Third time Paul addresses this, beginning, in the middle, and the end of his letter. It must be important. I divided the message into three parts. First, the false doctrine. Second, the nature of false teachers. And the evidence of false teachers. And what this is going to actually teach us is not only false teachers, but it will distinguish, if you properly understand the biblical teaching, is that it's going to distinguish those who are merely religious, that is, church-goers, versus those who are truly Christians. And that's why it's serious this morning. So we begin. First, the false doctrines that this group was teaching and promoting. Verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. So Paul from the get-go, if anyone teaches, no one is excluded. Actually, we see this picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when Paul proclaimed the gospel and the church at Corinth was built up. But Paul says there are teachers who are building on that foundation of Jesus with materials that is not right. And he warns them that on the judgment day, the fire will come and it will burn away anything that is not true. So here, if anyone teaches, no one is excluded. If anyone teaches that instruction or explains a different doctrine. So from here, you know, a lot of people in the church say, doctrine, that's not important. All we have to know is God is love. Even the false teachers had sets of beliefs and content of teaching they taught. Doctrines are very important. But doctrines when being taught that is contrary to the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and teaching that accords with godliness. So Paul distinguishes two kinds of doctrines that's being taught that is false. And Paul indicates in verse 4 that these are the false teachers. And so we'll come to the nature of who they are in the next point. So let's tackle the first truth here, that they were teaching false doctrines or different doctrines that was not agreed with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another way of communicating claims and teachings of Jesus that is now being communicated by the apostles in the early church and to us now that is being communicated to the Bible, God's word. So they're teaching something that is not according to Jesus' teaching. So what are they? Let's go a little deeper. It's a sound teaching of Jesus. That's correct word or truth. Words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the title that Paul uses to describe our Lord Jesus Christ, which means Jesus, the historical person of Jesus who came into this world, and Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, who is the Messiah, but he's Lord, Lord of all creation. In other words, what the false teacher were proclaiming was teaching that is different than Jesus' claim about himself, that he was the Son of God, and his teachings. His teachings of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here, and what it means to really honor God through the life of obedience, and actually believe in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So for some reason, they were teaching contrary to what was being proclaimed in the church. In other words, simply put, I don't want to lose you this morning. Salvation that is not faith in Jesus Christ, anything beyond that is false teaching. And we will see. Notice, against Jesus' words, Jesus' claim about himself. Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God, that both he was God and man. That's critical. Because in 1 John, he calls the false teachers and those who are being strayed because they didn't believe in the incarnation of Jesus. And John says that's false teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, anyone who denies the resurrection of Jesus is false teachers. If that's true, modern day false teachings and teachers, or cults we call that, we can safely conclude an institution like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism. We can safely conclude that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, that's Jehovah's Witness who denied the incarnation of Jesus or deity of Jesus. So it's out there. That's pretty clear. But here's what's a little bit challenging. Because at the church at Ephesus and in the early church, the false teachers and their teaching wasn't way out there like Mormons and Jehovah's Witness. There was this group called Judaizers. So they, I don't know if we'd call them Christians, but they're from Jewish background. And they were actually teaching that to the Gentile Christians, in order to become a Christian, yes, you believe in Christ, but you need to be to receive circumcision. And what that means is that the teaching is that Salvation is through by faith in Christ and plus whatever you need to do. And this is clearly communicated in Philippians chapter 3 when Paul calls them dogs. And the whole book of Galatians addresses this issue. So it was pervasive. Now, many of you, I don't believe that. Can I ask you to stay with me? So if anything that is salvation in Christ plus whatever, it's demonic. Because Christ says, it's by grace through faith alone. If this is true, I might deserve some of you or your relatives. The Catholic Church in an institute is false teachers. Because in their doctrine, they teach there's purgatory. You know what that means? That when you die, even though you're a Christian, you go to this place called purgatory to pay for your sins, which means Christ's work on the cross was not sufficient. That's heresy. So faith in Christ and your effort to live a good life, it's heresy, according to Paul. Actually, the Vatican pronounced, I believe in the mid-80s, that all religion leads to God. That's contrary to Jesus' teaching. No one can come to the Father except through me. You see how pervasive it is? That there's truth about Jesus, but something that is not true that is added to it. So that's one by one. Doctrinally, if you believe in Jesus and my effort to get to heaven, you're not rooted in the truth. But not only doctrinally, it comes through their practice. Look at the second teaching, the false teachers. The teaching that accords with godliness. In other words, they weren't promoting and teaching about accords with godliness. That is, the teaching here is the gospel, which accords or promotes or compels a life of godliness. The word godliness means God-centered. It doesn't mean sinless life, but it does mean God-centered. And one of the New Testament scholars, John Stott, says this, quote, "The life of reverence before God and obedience to God." And what these false teachers were teaching and many people are embracing is that the gospel saves, but they deny that the gospel has a life-changing power. The reason why Paul addresses this was there was another particular group in the early church, not only the Judaizers who promoted the Mosaic law plus Jesus, but the other group was called the Libertines. And I think this was influenced by the philosophy that is taught in the first century called dualism. Essentially, what they believe is anything that is spiritual is good, anything material is evil. And therefore, one of the wrong projecting of this belief was that, well, I'm saved, spiritually I'm good, nothing can undo that, so I can live my life wherever I want to, because material thing is evil. Modern day of this libertinism is this. You are saved, I have a ticket to heaven, therefore I can live whatever I want. That's called modern-day libertinism. Or someone says, I walked the aisle once and accepted Jesus, but never part of the church or not involved in the church. Or I actually been baptized or confirmed, and that was it. The Bible says no. Because the false teachers were not teaching or putting together the gospel, salvation in Jesus Christ, and godliness. And you can see this in the Bible. Romans chapter, I have some Bible passages. I don't have time to read it. Write it down if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, where there's clearly Paul distinguishes those who are of the world and those who are in the faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26, work of the flesh versus the work of the spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, there's actually practices in life that says they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what we can safely conclude is that these false teachers were teaching salvation through faith in Christ plus whatever, or, yeah, your salvation is secure. You can live whatever you want. They forgot that God's grace only saves, not only saves, but it transforms the life of a Christian. The gospel of Jesus Christ saves sinners, but that same gospel transforms every saint. Don't ever, wherever you go, compromise that truth. Therefore, any false teachers is actually that separates grace and obedience. You know why? The Bible teaches that when you are born again in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You have a new passion. You have a new goal. And the Spirit leads us in that way. And therefore, we pursue, that is to fight, not for salvation, but to live a life that is pleasing to God. Because innately it's there. You can't stop it. Yes, we fall into sin, but it moves us according to the Bible. And therefore, Paul says these are false teachings and false doctrines. What do you believe about the gospel? I know I'm kind of making you uncomfortable, but this is what the Bible says. Do you believe you're going to heaven because you've been baptized? Do you believe that you're going to heaven because you walk the aisle one day and receive Jesus? According to the Bible, look at your life. Is it with genuine love for Christ and pursuit for his kingdom? Number two. The nature of false teachers, verses 3 through 4, 8. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, which I just expounded upon, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Notice how he describes a false teacher. This person puffed up with conceit. That is, they have a big head with knowledge. They know a lot. They have a big head and they think highly of themselves, which is rooted in conceit with this excessive pride. And secondly, they understand nothing. What they teach is empty. In other words, apparently what sounds like wisdom, apparently what sounds very knowledgeable and wise, the Bible says they're empty. They don't know anything at all. Verse 5b, among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth. So these are the people, false teachers, and if you include religious people, they're depraved in their mind. That is warped. It's corrupt. Not only that, they're deprived of the truth. They're robbed of the truth. Now, interesting, Paul uses a Greek language here to communicate something that is important about this group. Deprived or depraved, they're both in perfect tense. And it's a fancy way of saying that it emphasizes it's a settled condition. This is their belief. They came to this conclusion, and a passive word indicates another has brought about this condition in their heart. You know who? According to 2 Timothy chapter, verses 24 through 26, It's Satan. They're actually under the control of Satan. And they don't even realize it. What they confidently teach and explain outwardly, and we see this in this world, no? Televangelists, wherever you go, they sound so confident. Sometimes it sounds right. But inwardly, according to the Bible, it's from the devil. So the question is, why are people who are pretty intelligent overall are drawn to demonic teachings? Why do you think? Because they're both deceptive and danger. They deny, like the Judaizers, Jesus plus your work and your effort, because they don't want to receive the offensiveness of the cross. Because if you look at the cross, it says you're more evil than you ever thought for the Son of Man to die on the cross. And people don't like to acknowledge that. And therefore, we believe in Jesus, but we work hard to be accepted by God, to receive his favor, to not to receive his punishment. That's work-based salvation. But the main reason the Bible teaches why these people are lured away, why in the world some intelligent people lured away from the truth of the gospel, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. This one, I will read this to you because it's important. This is the period, verses 1 through 2, Paul describes the last days, the characteristics of the last days. And if you summarize the last days, that people are lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. And this is how he concludes in verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There it is. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There it is. The reason why people are lured away by these weird teaching is that they sit through under the proper teaching, and some will get tired of biblical teaching, and they will draw themselves, actually accumulate, bring people, the teachers in their lives, watch YouTube, ultimately, to hear, to scratch their itching ear so that to justify their passions, their sins, to clear their conscience, to say, this practice is not too bad. And Jesus says in Matthew 5, this is very dangerous. Matthew 16, verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, all little leavens the whole lump. In other words, small, what seems unimportant false teachings can affect your whole life. Think about our current beliefs, church. Our society loudly proclaims tolerance, exclusivity, there's no love. Every time Christians oppose certain beliefs and practices, we're called haters. Take heed to Jesus' word. Small leaven will affect the whole people, the whole person, way you think. And that's why I was so thankful. I know some of you communicated that our small group teaching on ethic was hard, but it was necessary. You know why? A lot of the Christians operate out of political views. Oh, you're leaning more left. You're leaning more right. No, that's not important. Are we in the center of God's word to determine what is right and wrong? What is false and what is truth? The Bible clear. Abortion is sin. It's murder. It's not woman's right. The Bible is clear. Marriage is between one man and one woman, no other way, because God created the institute of marriage to symbolize and portray to the world the relationship between Christ and the church. Small leaven will eventually affect the whole person. Now, if you believe in these wrong teachings, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, but it could be a possibility that you're on the road to destruction, you see. And that's why Timothy encourages, or Paul encourages to Timothy, who's combating these false teachings, he says, as for you, always be sober, be alert, understand what's going on spiritually in this world, endure suffering. Why would he say that? Because Christians enter the narrow gate. The world enters the gate that is wide. And according to Jesus, many enter it, but only few enter the narrow gate. Endure suffering. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. The instructions to Timothy, who's combating and going through this hardship, continue to do what you've been doing. Teach God's word, because that gives life. Church, can I be honest with you? Do you study the Bible? If you say no, there's something wrong with you. Because the Bible says it's spiritual food. It's means of grace. But if you do study the Bible, why do you study the Bible? Why? For some, it's to obtain ammunition, to fight. But the whole purpose of the Bible is let it be a mirror to our soul, to know who God is and who we are. So the false doctrine, it's out there. It's not blatant lies. And the nature of the false teachers is demonic. And lastly, the evidence of false teacher. Okay, how do we know their heart? The Bible teaches us, verse 4. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produces envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion, and constant friction. So Paul describes the heart of a false teacher, their DNA, demonic, but it's actually portrayed outwardly. And these are the things that we ought to be looking for, even false Christians. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words. It's interesting the word that Paul uses here. The unhealthy craving can be interpreted into sick appetite. And their appetite is for controversy, debating for the debate's sake, not to arrive in the truth. Quarreling is it's defined as a heated argument or disagreement, typically about a trivial issues. And that's what I notice at our church when we do Bible study. The doctrine of who God is and Jesus and Holy Spirit and redemption, no one disagrees. But like these minor events, I don't know why we put our life on the line. The evidence of the DNA, says, which produces, this is what we can actually see, envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion, and constant friction. Let me define these words so we have a better understanding. Envy is a resentful longing arose by possession of others. And probably the proper godly teachers who has authority in the church. Dissension, disagreement that leads to discord. There's no agreement to disagree. They go to the very end. slander, false statement to damage another's reputation, or abusive word with intent to bring someone down. Evil suspicion, there's always distrust, conspiracy, lack of trust, and constant friction. If you look at their lives, their life is always filled with tension, resistance. They're always negative. And therefore, what's in their heart, their DNA, what gets the evidence of the fruit of their lives, which shows the nature that what they in their mind is empty and demonic, they pursue division rather than unity. They pursue stirring up things rather than forgiving. They pursue gossip rather than building others up. You know why? Because false teachers, their understanding of salvation is based on works, their performance. So they feel good about themselves. So they look down on others, those who are not performing, you see. Because if you're in Christ, you know it's all grace. So do you know people who does not promote unity but division? You know why? Because this is Satan's tactic. The Bible teaches us there are two primary ways that the gospel being portrayed to the world. Jesus actually, there's a two primary way the world will know who I am. Number one, it's marriage. I won't go into deep into that. I always talked about that, right? How a husband and wife relate to one another. It's a primary way to tell the darkness of this world who Jesus is. But the second is the church. Jesus says the world will know that God has sent me through the way that you maintain unity. No wonder false teachers are doing this. Because Christians will go out of their way to relinquish their right to protect and maintain the unity in the church because they want to honor their Savior. Why would they do this? Yeah, it's demonic. Paul discloses their motivation. Why they're doing this. Look at with me verse 5, verse 4b through 5. Among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, that godliness is a means of gain. You know, how do we know those who are deprived of the mind and depraved of the mind and deprived of the truth? It's their motivation. They pursue godliness. They pursue personal piety. Why? Their goal is self-gain. Here, gain in godliness means financial gain. They're itinerant speakers. In modern day, they're pastors. The reason why they're serving is to make a living. And according to the Bible, that's not our calling. We're called by God. Of course, the church needs to provide for their living, but their motivation is to make money. And Paul will address this next Sunday. And that's how we know some of the false teachers, their lifestyle, extravagant. But not only they use godliness as a means of gain, I believe, not only for obtaining financial stability, but to receive honor through their position, to receive applause from people. Church, there's a lot of reason why people do things in their lives, and they're even willing to sacrifice. But the motivation can be quite different. Many who are self-serving can look godly, pursue personal piety, is to protect their image in the church, to gain favor, to receive applause. But how do we know that we're not? Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. You can tell by what they do. If they're given a small responsibility, if they're faithful, they will be faithful with a lot. But if they're not, they won't be. You know what the context is, though, here in Jesus' teaching in Luke 16? It's got to do with money. You see, people can sacrifice for their image, their position, to applause, but when it comes to hitting their bank account, they won't. Smile, church. I'm too serious. I know it's a serious message. So the question comes down to this. Are you in the truth? Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the nature of false teachers? It's demonic. Be careful what you believe and pursue. And number three, the nature or the motivation of these false teachers. Dear fellow saints, why do you serve? Why do you build up Christ's church? The question this morning is, are you following the Jesus of the Bible or Jesus that you have shaped to fit your life? Do you follow the Jesus of the Bible or the Jesus of your own imagination? You know what the Bible calls this? In Second Commandment, you shall not make yourself a carved image or likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in earth or beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And we think of graven images as sticks and rocks, the primitive countries and people. No. To make Christ of your own making is idolatry. It's a hard message, but it's in the Bible. Do you believe the gospel? As it states in the Bible, that we were complete sinners. We couldn't do anything about our salvation, but God, in his grace, saved us through his Son. Are you walking away from some of the truth of the Bible and disagree? That's demonic. And lastly, our motivation of loving our Savior. False teachers, they taught false doctrines, which reveal the lack of understanding, which stems from their spiritual blindness. And their spiritual blindness expresses itself through their sick interests and their maliciousness of life. Why? For personal gain. This is so contrary to the true teacher that we know. The one who was filled with only truth. The one who had no darkness at all, who was light himself. And the one who came into this world with intent and motivation, not with sick intent, but to save sinners. He did not verbalize any malicious word, even on the cross, to save sinners like you and I. Why? To honor his Father. And for the joy's sake, he endured the cross for you and me. That's the gospel that sets us free. The false teachers segregates Jesus and godliness. And the Bible says, no, no, no. Gospel saves sinners and transforms the life of saints. May God have grace upon us this morning. Let's pray. And Father, I... try to understand why Paul would address this issue three times in this letter. I get it, it's serious at that time, but I realize more and more, Lord, it's serious today. I think some people are just religious, going to church, because they don't want to be punished by God. God have mercy upon them. May the gospel sink into their heart and experience the true liberation. The truth will set them free. And for those who are walking with you, keep us at bay. Help us never be lured by false teachings of this world. Father, that's hard because we're the minority. We're laughed at. We're recipient of jeers. But we stay because you're the truth. There's only life in you. So give us the grace today to be courageous and pursue with the spirit that you have given in our lives, a God-centered life. God's kingdom work may pervade every part of our being for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's stand together and we're going to sing these two songs. We ask that you would use it as your prayers this morning. Let's worship the Lord.